Your attention again to the verse of the year that we have over here, and I want us to read it together. I'm going to come down there so I can look at it like you look at it. You ready? In fact, let's all stand when you say this verse, in due respect for the word. Ready? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would be like him. Look at that. That's a great verse. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at how we are, you may be seated, that we are God's workmanship, his handiwork. And we discover that God don't make no junk, and that God created you and me the way he wants us to be. And if we just learn to follow him, all the stuff that we think are our problems turn into power and grace in his name. And last week, we looked at created in Christ Jesus and what it means to be a Christian and follow God. And this week we're going to talk about creating Christ Jesus for. The word for usually designates a purpose. We are created like Jesus Christ. We are his workmanship for good works which God prepared when? Yeah, it's not something that we have to make up. God prepared beforehand so that we would be like him. What is your purpose? What is your purpose? I was looking out this week several sites about purpose. Of course, there's the purpose-driven church. We've all heard of that because we've done that here. There are other means of finding your purpose. But I read this interesting article, and I thought, this should be pretty good. So I started reading through it. I thought the more I read it, the more ridiculous it sounded. It said, when you want to find your purpose in life, take out a blank sheet of paper or open up the word processor where you can type freely. I prefer the word processor because I can remember it easier and it's faster. If you don't know what a word processor is, it's not going to be faster for you. Right at the top, he says, that the thing, well, what is my true purpose in life? So if you have a little piece of paper, write that right on top. What is my true purpose in life? Okay. Now, I'm not going to give you profound answers here. He said, here's how you discover your purpose. Write an answer, any answer. Write an answer, any answer. That's really kind of dangerous because you could have, well, I want to be, and you could, you know, I want to be a hoodlum or I want to be a gangster. And then it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't even have to be a complete sentence. And then write this down. And then go to step four. Step four is repeat number three as often as you need to until you start to cry. And when you start to cry, that's your purpose. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. He doesn't even tell you, well, it'll make you cry. Maybe it's the cramp in your hand from writing so much that will make you cry. I don't know. That's kind of random, isn't it? Because you can write down anything that you want as your purpose, and it could be ridiculous until it makes you cry or you fake crying or whatever. That's just not a good way to find out your purpose in life. As a believer in Jesus Christ, we already have a purpose. We have a built-in purpose. This may surprise you what it is, because purpose-driven life says, you know, we have to find out what you like and do it. But that's not the purpose that we have. We have one purpose in life. All of us do. You ready? Write this down someplace. It's really profound. Our purpose is to glorify God. Amen. Everything we think, everything we do, everything we eat, every place we go, God wants one thing from us, that is to bring glory to his name. The problem is we don't always know how to do that. You and I were built for this purpose, to bring glory to God. And you know that if we don't testify and glorify to God, the scriptures say the rocks will start crying out. Now that would be kind of scary. It'd be like a Star Trek version of spirituality when the rocks start to count. But yell out. But that's not, our purpose is to glorify God. And one of the ways, probably the most profound way we can do this, is through good works. Hence our verse of the year. We are created in Christ Jesus for what?
Good works
that bring glory to him. Jesus said this, in the same way, let your light shine before others. It doesn't say before those in church. It doesn't say it for those in a Sunday school class or in a small group. Before others. That's a universal term. It means everybody that you're around. Every time you see somebody, let your light shine. So that they may see your good deeds, your good works, and glorify your Father who's in heaven. I was interested to read the previous verses of this, because this is Ephesians 2:10. One of the first verses I learned in Sunday school when I was growing up as a kid was Ephesians 2:8 and 9. If I read it to you, you may recall it. It says, "It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So I was thinking about this message this last weekend, and I was sitting Sunday evening kind of thinking about how could I do this last part of the verse? And I started thinking about questions. Do I understand that God wants me to do good works? Do I understand why I should be doing those good things? Is there some way that I can figure out and read how I should do them? And then what is it that I should be doing? Those are all good questions. So that, why, how, and what? Those are great questions to ask, and we're going to ask those questions and try to answer them today. Father, teach us from your word today so we may understand it. Open up the verses that we read and use me today. Even though I don't feel that good, just use me to share your word. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. First of all, we know that, as followers of Jesus, we know that we are to be involved in God's good works. So I just want to lay something to rest right now. The good works are not for somebody that teaches Sunday school or runs a food pantry or gets up here to preach every Sunday. Or the good works are not just in the ministry we do in the church. We know that in our everyday life that we are supposed to be involved in good works. We usually think of good works as something that we do through a church ministry, but it's not always just through a church ministry. In fact, I think sometimes we use that as an excuse not to really be involved. Well, our church does that already. Here's a thought. Instead of having people come here for food, why aren't we taking food home to give to people in our neighborhood? Have you ever thought about that one? That would be kind of amazing, wouldn't it? Good works carries out a whole thing, a whole unique idea in the Bible. It says that God has prepared it for us in advance so that we might walk in them. Circle that word walk. See that word there, that word walk? In the Bible, it isn't, this is just kind of jetting around like this, you know. The walk has to do how our lifestyle, how we live. It means that we're carrying this thing out in every area where we go, whether we're shopping someplace or we're living at home, whether we're working or we're retired, whether we go to school, whatever it is that we're doing, that is how we are to live. Our walk is who we are, what we do. You may want to think, what is it that I do every day? Think about what you do every day. Some of you go to work, right? Some of you, well, it may take everything you have to get up in the morning for some of us. Some of us go to school. Some of us take care of somebody who's not feeling too well sometimes or is sick or a sick family member. That's our walk. Wherever you go, that is your walk. Whatever you're doing, you're supposed to be doing good works. So let's just put this little thing to rest. It's that we are supposed to be doing. There's no question about it. I know now that I am supposed to be doing that. I read this verse quite often at the graveside, and I read it a lot at funerals because it's a message that tells us that we're supposed to go on in life. In fact, 1 Corinthians 15:50 through 57 is this great chapter that talks about how Christ will return with a trumpet in the blink of an eye. We will all be changed. You recognize that passage? And so it talks about this future hope that we have, even though we've lost this loved one. And so I'll be reading this at the end of the message at the graveside. I read it at my brother's funeral. I read it at my mom's funeral. I read it at Cindy's mother's funeral. I read this scripture. And then at the end it says this, 1 Corinthians 15:58. "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." The whole context of our hope is built upon the fact that Jesus is coming back again. But in the meantime, Get involved. Get involved in your neighborhood. Go find out what their needs are and pray for them, at the very least. Care about your family members. That you are supposed to be doing. And then all of a sudden, people's lives will open up and you'll see what it is that you can be doing for them. So that we're supposed to do it is not a question. If you're not involved in somebody's life, you're calling yourself a Christian, that's a problem. If you're waiting for me to do it or Nate to do it or some committee to do it or some team to do it, that presents a problem because you no longer are doing what you are supposed to do to bring glory to God. So find someplace, something, someone you can work with and do for him. Second of all, we are told why we should involve ourselves in God's works. The other day I was, we call them crying maybes, the memes, the crying memes, the babies start crying because mommy and daddy aren't there for whatever reason. And so if Josie can't handle them or the teachers can't handle them or Josie's gone or whatever, my job is to go in to get the screaming memes. You know, the little screaming memes and say, okay, you're coming with me. And it's usually right before nap time, so they're keeping all the other kids awake. So I'll go for a walk with them. If I'm here, I'll go for a walk with them. And I'll hold them and talk to them and show them this and show them that. And then, like this one little girl on Monday, I did this. She was walking around and she was, okay, she's better. I said, okay, we're going to go back in the room now. Would you please stop crying? Why? Why? Great question, why? Because if you don't, I'm going to, no. But here's the point. That's a great question to ask. Why? Why should I do that? I didn't even know how to answer that question for a little girl that wants to cry, because her goal was to stay with me through all nap time. Eventually, she fell asleep. But the question why is a question we ask a lot, and we should ask it. It's a good question to ask. The question why changes people's lives. When you ask why and get an answer for the answer why, the question why, you're changing your life. I want to read a couple of verses for you. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Why? As if you're working for the Lord. Colossians 3:23. In whatever you do, I want you to take a moment now and write down three things that you do most every day. It doesn't matter what they are. Write down about three things that you do most every day. I get up. I take a shower. I drive to work. I go to work. I feed my family. I And you ask the question, why do I do that? And that may be a difficult question, because I have to, because I don't want to, but I must, because of this, because I need the money, because of this, because of that. You ask the question why, but if it's not working as unto the Lord, you'll never really know why. Do you know that everything we're supposed to be doing, that we do, are supposed to be done to bring glory to God? That's the why. As if you are working for the Lord, not man. And then it goes on in Galatians 6, 9 and 10 says, and let us not grow weary of doing good. In due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to everyone. To who?
Everyone.
Everyone. Who's everyone?
Everyone.
Everyone. I don't have to explain to you. That's everyone. Especially those who are in the household of faith. The implication is that there's somebody in our household, our congregation that's hurting and we're not helping them. We're not fulfilling what God wants us to do. Why do we do this? We involve ourselves, why? Because God cared for us. We're supposed to involve ourselves in caring for people. So God wants us to be, and he wants ourselves to involve ourselves in being caring for other people. Just caring. Sometimes that's all it takes is just to care. Did you ever think of that? Just to care. We're to care for people to bring glory to God. Here it is again. It pops out again, doesn't it? This is the why. Why? Because I want to glorify God. What did God do? He sent his son to die on the cross. Why should I get involved? Because he got involved. Why should I do it? Because it brings glory to his name. So no longer am I giving food out for the purpose of getting how many numbers we fed. I'm now giving out in the name of the Lord. I'm now caring for my neighbors in such a way that I care about them in such a way because Jesus cared for them. I care for them that same way. That's the why. Ultimately, God wants everybody to come to him. Sadly, maybe, but excitedly, certainly, That's usually through us, not through others. So we are also told not just what or that or why, but we're told how. We're told how we should involve ourselves in God's good works. Titus chapter 3, verse 4 through 7, it says this. But when the kindness of and love of our Father and Savior appeared, He saved us not because of righteous things we have done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing and the rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Christ our Savior. I want you to take your imaginary cup, would you? Take your imaginary cup. Rosie has a cup, but don't do that. No, take your imaginary cup, right? And say, this is Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit. And pour it over yourself. I know you feel weird doing that. But imagine if I took oil and poured it over top of you. Or imagine if you were being baptized and I poured you like I did that one lady that one day. Or just imagine God pouring Himself over you. That's what it means to have the Holy Spirit inside you. You are drenched in Him. Here's the how. How do I do this? Oh, I do it not out of my own goodness. I get tired after a while doing it. But I do it because I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit. So that having been justified by grace, we might become heirs, having a hope of eternal life that is trustworthy. And I want to stress these things so that those of you who have trusted in God may be careful to devote yourselves to doing good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. That you might be careful to devote yourselves to doing what is good. Good works. I love to go to DIY stations and see how to do things. In fact, the other day my trimmer broke. I couldn't figure out what the problem was, so I was looking at it, and it should just come apart, da, 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 but it didn't have the bolt where they said it was, so I had to go online and find out how to do this. And so I did. I went online and found out how to do this, and it says, just put your screwdriver in the tab. Well, I'd wrecked the thing so badly, the tab wasn't even there anymore, so I had to get two new pieces for it. But I like to learn how to do that. Here's the DIY. Here's the steps to do it on your own. DIY. Do it on your own. In church work, generally, there are literally thousands, I'm not even exaggerating, thousands of seminars I can go to. Every week, I get at least a list, at least 10, 20, sometimes like this last week, I got 40 emails about different conferences I can go to figure out how to do something. Usually, it's either a company or a mega church that says, here's how we did this, here's how we became successful. Come and learn from us how to be successful so your church can grow and be big like ours. But I've tried that. I've gone to a lot of those things, and I tried them, and they never work. Not sure why. You know why? You can't duplicate what God's doing some other place in your place. That's why. And so I go back to the, where are we at? Bloom where you're planted. I've had people call me up and say, can you come and teach us how to do your food ministry? No. I mean, I can teach you, I can give you ideas of how to run a food ministry, but no, we run it the way we run it because that's where we're planted. And it's probably, it may or may not work where you're at. This wasn't just something we just kind of decided to do. We just kind of stumbled upon it as a need that went on in the neighborhood. There's no magic to it. After all said and gone, I became frustrated with all the stuff that I tried to learn and just began to realize that you can't duplicate anything. And so if I have to get some magical thing or some magical number or some magical formula, why doesn't it work? Probably because God's not in it. Good works comes from God Himself, not from something I do or not some program we run. It's people, it's individuals, it's you, it's me saying, you know what? God did a good thing in me. I want to do a good thing for some other people. I want to be in their lives. Although anyone can do good deeds, followers of Jesus can sustain and care by being empowered by the Holy Spirit. You say, how? Well, first you have to accept Him as your Savior and Lord, but then you have to be clean before Him. You have to accept Him and then say, Father, there are things in my life that aren't right. Fill me, I confess those to you. Take them, cleanse me, and fill me with your Spirit so that I might do the things and be the person you want me to be. In fact, good works are not doing things. Good works is being someone. Do you get that? Yeah. Figure this one out. Good works is not things that I do. It's being who God wants me to be. It's almost as if the good things that he wants me to do will come out of who I am in such a way that it's just automatic. The Spirit of God will just lead me to that. I can give you illustration after illustration where when I just said, okay, I'm just going to be your servant, and I walk into things. You know, we're helping Michael 1 year when he broke his arm, and as his arm breaks and we're praying for him, I look up, and we're in ER over at Kaiser, I look up, and there's a pastor friend of mine who's having problems almost stroking out. And I said, well, my first instinct was, I got to stay with my family, but my second instinct was, I also need to go pray for him. And so as Michael's going for his x-ray, I went over and prayed with him. Oh, God opened my heart to that. It wasn't something that I just do. It's something that he said, do this because you're filled with the Spirit. So that's how we do it. If you're wondering, how can I do this? Listen, ministry gets really tiring, any kind of ministry that we do. If you're doing it in your own power, you'll quit it after a while. That's why people quit ministries. That's why they quit churches, because they get tired and frustrated because their focus is on themselves or other people, and it's not being empowered by God himself. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're having any difficulty sustaining your walk with the Lord and doing things that God wants you to do, probably that's a good point to turn to. God, fill me with you. This lack of empowerment, one man wrote, is the number one reason people give up on doing good works. It's why we get frustrated when doing it. When our focus becomes how we feel or how others treat me, we will not do good works. Doing good works which God prepared beforehand so that we would be like him. And the last part of this thing before we have our Lord's Supper is we are told generally what to do so we can be involved in God's great works. Now, a lot of companies, a lot of people, a lot of seminaries, a lot of classes, and we've done them here, is discovering your spiritual gift. That may or may not help you to decide specifically what you can do, but there are some things in the Bible generally that we're all supposed to be doing. And if you're wondering, okay, I'm not gifted in this area, there's no special gift involved except the power of the Holy Spirit, there are three or four things that the Bible mentions over and over again that he wants us all to be doing. I'm going to read a verse for you and tell you what it is. We are to care for the children, especially those who have no father. Pure and genuine religion, James says, in the sight of God the Father, means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Fatherless children, up until about 125 years ago, fatherless children were called orphans. Now, if you grew up in a single-parent family, you know, especially if your father was never around, like my dad died when I was two, those 6 or 7 years where I lived in a single-parent family, having someone caring about you really meant a lot. It meant an awful lot. Somebody just dared to make some toy blocks for me or give me a popsicle or a neighbor down the street would let me play with his minnows or whatever it was. It was so meaningful because I knew somebody cared. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. We are to care for and feed the poor. One of the reasons we have a food pantry, because where we're planted, this becomes a focal point ministry. It's not all we do. It's not who we are. It's what we do because we are planted here to do it. It says this. Now, I want to tell you the story behind this verse. Paul had gone to the big wigs. It's in the book of Galatians chapter 1. He'd gone to the big wigs, Peter and James and John, and he was talking to them. They wanted to know, who are you and why are you teaching the gospel? You were the guy that persecuted us before. And so they went through this whole thing. And as they heard Paul's story and they listened to Paul's story, they began to realize that Paul was really called of God to do this, go to the Gentiles. And so at the end of this discussion they had, They gave him the right hand of fellowship. They blessed him. And then they said this, and it's found in Galatians 1:20, or 2:10, I mean. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor. Preach your word, do the ministry the way you need it, but just remember the poor people. Minister to them. Now, why is that? Have you ever been poor? Yeah. Have you ever been at a point where you didn't know where your next meal was coming from? And you're just wondering, how is this going to happen? I can't totally relate to that. I always had soda, crackers, and cheese. But I remember helping a family once. The guy came in. In fact, he called me up. He said, can you come over? And so I was visiting him. I walked in with food for him because we need food. I walked in for food for him because his wife was an invalid. And he said, we just ate our last food. And I said, what was that? He goes, onions. And as I walked in the door, I could smell the frying onions. Everything was bare. And it wasn't even a crumb for a mouse. And just giving him food brought tears to his eyes. We're to care for those who don't have as much as we have. In fact, it doesn't even say that. It says just care about the poor. The inference is even if you are poor, you still care about those who are poor. Care for the poor. It's not a church ministry only. It's something that I get involved in. And then lastly, we are to respect and care for the elderly. Several things that God wants us to do, but he wants us to respect and care for the elderly. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, in all purity. There's a reason why God said in Proverbs that gray hair is a crown of glory. It's gained in a righteous life. And as we get older as a nation, and as some of us who are younger now look across and go, that's an old guy, our one responsibility is to care about them. You may not need to feed them, you may not need to take them in, you just respect and care. If you do that, you are bringing glory to God and honoring that person. And it doesn't say, except for that old man who's really mean down the street. It doesn't say about that nasty lady that lives at the corner there with all the cats. We had our very first church and seminary, we had an old lady that was just, she'd never been married. We are not kidding you. We went in there one day and found 16 cats. But she loved books and she had all this stuff all over the place. So we decided to invite her over for Christmas dinner. And so it blizzarded Christmas Eve. And so we somehow made it over to her house to pick her up for Christmas dinner, and she came over to our house and had a little gift for each of us. I think I remember I got a little set that had a handle with you could put several different type of screwdrivers in it. I still have it, 40 years later, still have that thing. And I remember her sitting down to eat, and we're doing the food, and I mean, there's absolutely no conversation because Rita didn't talk. Oh yeah, and she just sat there. But we were all done eating, and she's still chowing down. This little lady, maybe 4 feet tall, and we're just sitting there watching her. She's just, give me more, I'm on. But it was so cool to do that with her. And later on, I figured out why. It's because we fulfilled what God wanted to do, what God wants us to do, and that's care about older people. Care about kids who are fatherless. You know, in our day and age, it's not hard to do. Because this morning, 54% of all the children in America woke up without a father in their house. It's not a hard thing to do. I don't mean without a man. I mean without, they didn't even have a man in their house. That's difficult. Words of encouragement go a long ways. And then at the end, I think it's interesting, he said, do this in purity. Don't have a motivation to get something out of it. So we know that we're supposed to be involved in good works. We are told in the scriptures why we should be doing good works. And then we're told how to do them And then, generally speaking, we're told what to do. And as you begin to fulfill the what and the that and the how and the why, you'll begin to discover your own special niche. But you'll always be involved in caring about the poor and the needy and the widows and the orphans and the elderly. You always will be, because that's what God calls us to do. For good works which God prepared beforehand so that we would be like him. We become Jesus for these people. Have the worship team come up as we sing this next song and prepare ourselves for the Lord's Supper. And maybe you are here just because you have to be. Maybe you came because you want to be. Maybe God is speaking in your heart about getting involved in somebody else's life. Not just a church ministry. Don't get me wrong. This isn't just about doing a church ministry. This is about every day of our lives caring for other people. And I want you to think about a neighbor next door or down the street or even a relative. And as you pray, I want you to ask God, first of all, to cleanse you from selfishness and self-centeredness. I'm going to do the same thing. And then begin to ask him to pour in your heart a care. And think about the person that God is calling to care about. Already in my mind, there's two neighbors that I'm just going to pray about. So let's pray. Would you first of all ask God to just cleanse you? Search me, O God, and try me, know my anxious thought. He will reveal to you things that you may not even be aware of, but that's good. Let him do that. Confess those things to him. Say now, thank you for forgiving me, Father, and fill me with your Spirit. Now, show me, reveal to me, refresh me, remind me of the people that I need to be caring about in real practical ways. My next door neighbor, my elderly family members, even my brothers and sisters. You see that person? Pray for that person now. Pray these things in Jesus' name. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he met with his disciples and he took some bread and he broke it. And he said, I want you to see this because this represents what's going to happen to me, my body broken for you. And he took the cup and he said, I want you to see this because as you drink this, it isn't just the image of the lamb, the blood of the lamb that you put on the Passover meal, but it's the blood of Christ that cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Drink it, eat all of it. So I'm going to have you just stand where you are and come over to either side. Pastor Nate's over there. I'm over here. You're going to get the little onesies today, the all-in-one things. So I'll take a moment to get them undone when you get back. And then we'll share in the Lord's Supper together.
Rest my soul.
Said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat all of it." The challenge of opening these things up, right? Yes, you are. They're stubborn little buggers, aren't they? So eat all of it. And then he said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you." Yeah. Drink all of it. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are constantly reminding us of who you are, that you have done good in our lives. And you want to continue to do good in our lives. And so as we come before you, taking these elements to remind us of who you are, we remind ourselves because one day soon, or not soon, but one day for sure, you're coming back.
Amen.
And we're thankful for that. So we will use this to proclaim your goodness until that day. We will remind ourselves that you are a good God, that you saved us through your Son, Jesus Christ. As we part, give us strength and courage to go our ways and to walk with you and to walk in the good works that you already have provided for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.